Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, Marnie Hare Bickel. Marnie, tell us a little about Native Born Son, the journals of J. David Ford. Blue Denim Press is going to release it soon, I believe, in October. What did you include in the book and what did you leave out?
Yes, Blue Denim Press agreed to publish the book, but not before we did some major slashing and cutting. The full book I presented to Shane Joseph, publisher of Blue Denim Press, was close to 400 pages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we had to agree, we did agree that it was too long. It would cost too much, so we began the process of deciding what we would leave in and what we would take out. There was a whole section called Arctic Legends and Histories that we cut.
Okay.
The chapters were interesting observations, but they weren't stories, nor did they really add to the storyline. So we left them out. The introduction that I wrote is important information, so we did leave that in. But the epilogue I wrote, telling the story of David's life after he left the Arctic until he died in 1989, was cut. Hopefully I'll be able to use that in some future book or project. I also wanted some maps and diagrams and artwork in the book, so that was another piece of the puzzle to fit into a book that would be the right length for people to buy.
Yeah, that must have been hard.
Well, it was interesting. Yeah, it was hard, but it was good work, and I really appreciated Shane's help and all of it. It was terrific.
Now, David himself wrote 4 memoirs, I believe.
Yes.
So what parts of his life did he write about, and how many of these, if any, were published during his lifetime?
He did write 4 manuscripts of his life growing up in the Arctic. The first was Coates Island, and that is from about the time he's 8 years old until he goes away to school in Newfoundland. It was just before his 13th birthday that he went away to Newfoundland. The second book, Newfoundland, is all about his time there, what they would call the outside world. Some stories about his going to school, some stories about St. John's, and this was all during the 1920s.
Okay.
Then he comes home. Now his father has been transferred. He's opened up a new Hudson's Bay post in Coral Harbor on Southampton Island. So the third book, which is in 2 parts, is about the time when the supply ship didn't come. And they make one journey where they go to get Greenland whale. The second journey is an overland journey that they take with dog sleds. And on one of the sleds, they have strapped a whale boat, huge boat that they take overland. They've got 33 dogs to sort of go between these 4 sleds and extra dogs on this sled with the boat. The reason they went overland, they had to go to another trading post. They were running out of matches, ammunition, just staples like flour and molasses and things like that. So that the two-parter together is called The Long Journey. And then his last memoir, he's now a full-fledged trapper-trader, and he talks about the people he meets, the trading posts and what goes on during the day there, and it's just general observations. None of them were published.
Oh, what a pity.
None of them were published, no. He tried to enlist a publishing company in England to take Coates Island, and he rewrote that several times, but to no avail. And he also inquired about getting Arctic Heritage published, but because it wasn't really a story, only sort of observations, it was never picked up. Native Born Son combines Coates Island, Newfoundland, and The Long Journey, which is the two-parter about the whale journey and the overland journey. So that's all one book now. So the only thing we haven't used is the Arctic Heritage. And I may be able to use those as little pieces here and there in another project.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the stories are really very fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, they're not stories, but some of the observations are very fascinating.
And what about David and Ruth together? Will you write a book about them?
I would like to. I have an idea I really need to spend some time researching it to see if it's going to work. And their life together will be a piece of that story. So I have enough to do around them, but there's just another couple of interests that I want to see if that will work in as well.
Sounds exciting. Mm. Well, can you read to us again? Will you be reading from Native Born Son?
Yes, this is from Native Born Son. So this is toward the end of the book. David has been away at school. Now he's back. His father is now in Southampton, Ireland. I don't think he's been here too long yet. And the locals ask him if he'll join in the drum dance. They want him to beat the drum to one of their songs. And apparently it's this hunter, sort of a one-eyed hunter, they call him, who apparently wrote beautiful songs. And so he is now getting ready to beat the drum at the drum dance. So here it is. That evening, I had a great sense of pride as I sat in a spacious tent among the long-haired people of Coral Harbor. The tent was jammed and more gathered outside. An air of expectancy prevailed as everyone chattered. A white man will beat the ancient drum. Whose song will he borrow? Or does the native-born son have his own song? Who will start it for him? Many men and women sat in a neat circle waiting for the drumming to begin. Some of the women were heavily tattooed, with blue-black marks running down from the forehead to the bridge of the nose, down each side of the nostrils, feathering out to the cheeks. Almost all carried sleeping children in their parka hoods. One of the elders came in, sat down beside me, and proceeded to tighten the many strings stretching the caribou skin over the drum. The excitement heightened by the minute, everyone talking and laughing. Even the huskies outside sensed the anticipation and barked and howled. Young boys and girls peeped into the tent, only to be reprimanded by 100 tongues. The few young girls inside the tent were busy filling and lighting soapstone pipes for their mothers. Finally, the drum was pronounced ready, and some of the older women shouted, "Hey! Hey!" One of the most respected drummers was first to take up the drum. He balanced the drum in his left hand, gripped the stick beater with his right, stooped forward and beat the drum 3 times as he shuffled his feet sideways, backwards, then forwards. His wife began the singing, and other women joined in. The drummer emitted a series of low, animal-like grunts, jumped as though he were electrified, and swayed his long hair from side to side, sweeping and swishing it over his brown, well-formed face as he sang. The song had countless verses that told the complete story of his seal hunting experiences. At regular intervals, he would shout that he was tiring. However, he carried on, sweat pouring down his face. At last, his song ended and the women singers stopped. He wiped his brow. "Wow, this is hot business." The skin drum hardly touched the floor of the tent before another drummer picked up and started again. Round-faced, black-haired women smoked as they sang, their eyes closed. Wise old men sat like statues, listening. Young boys and girls were lulled to sleep. Drummers went half-berserk. Women yelled encouragement to the drummers. I was so absorbed that it was my turn sooner than I expected. I groped my way to the center of the circle, carefully balanced the heavy drum in my left hand and the drumstick in my right. Silence, deep silence, and not a squeak. I must act part of this, I thought to myself. I was clothed in caribou skin like the others. At my prearranged signal, I hit the drum twice with all the force I could muster. It boomed, then 3 quick beats. The one-eyed man's wife began to sing with a clear, high voice, and a chorus of women joined in the chant. Old men and women swayed. The teenage boys and girls were allowed to look through the opening of the tent. Sleeping boys and girls were shaken awake. Young babies jostled from their deep slumber to see the native-born son beat the ancient drum. I yelled to encourage my choristers, which seemed to renew their enthusiasm. My wrist was numb, my arm ached. I snorted, grunted, and mumbled like no other white man could. Here I was, I thought, using the one-eyed man's song, one of the most beautiful. I must uphold his song by keeping up until the song ends. Finally, my borrowed song was finished. I was exhausted and collapsed beside some elderly men. The chanting and singing continued to remind me that, as their guest, should I want to continue, I had the support of the singers. "More, more," they cried. I hauled myself up and drummed some more to let them know that this native-born son's energy knew no bounds. The crowd in the tent worked themselves into a frenzy, laughing and jostling one another. I believe some went into a trance. I decided I must stop. After the first 5 verses, I purposely dropped the drum and called out, "I need to rest." With great joy, I pounded the drum where it had fallen on the floor of the tent. Another frenzied drummer jumped to the rescue, and the drum dance went on far into the night. Outside, huge stone fireplaces burned merrily, lapping up the seal oil-saturated moss. The aroma of cauldrons of fresh meat cooking filled the cool night air. Huge pieces of seal meat, fish, and caribou were laid out on clean, flat stones. Each man held a two-bladed knife, the women their ulu. A portion of meat was grabbed, a bite taken, and the mouthful cut off with the knife. The meat was delicious. Pot after pot was emptied before big cuts of Arctic char fish made the rounds, delectable finger food. We consumed great quantities of meat, drank gallons of good savory broth, followed by loud belching, and talked and talked and talked until the sun peeped over the barren hills.
Quite an event.
Yes.
Well, thanks very much, Marnie.
Oh, you're welcome.
We've been talking with Marnie Hare-Bickel, whose book Native Born Son has recently been released by Blue Denim Press. So, Marnie, where can listeners buy your book?
It will be available in local bookstores, but the people can also buy it online through Amazon.
Okay.
And it's also an e-version is available as well as a soft cover.
Excellent.
I'm going to be doing a book launch on November the 3rd at the Port Hope Community Hub. That's the only thing scheduled in this area. I'm also doing a book reading in Huntsville on November the 24th at their theater. So that's it so far, but more dates coming up.
More to come. Mm-hmm. Great. And I'm sure we can find out about those perhaps at Blue Denim Press website.
Yes, Blue Denim Press website. Or just a Native Born Son also has a web page on the Ford Elm site.
Excellent. And listeners, if you'd like to connect with us here at the program to make comments, ask anything, or give us suggestions of whom we might interview in future programs, please leave your comment at our website, www.wordonthehills.com. And if you've missed a program or you'd like to listen to one again, you'll find all our broadcasts archived at the website too. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here on Word on the Hills, Sunday at 1 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.